Full credit where credit is due by you.
Yeah. Sometimes you just need to accept that you not were wrong because been previously right, but, yes. You know, when things have – we talk about self-improvement on this podcast a lot. You know, we're one of those. And, you know, when things go away and look at what they need to work on and come back a better product, and you just got to give them credit, like you said. So, you know – all will be revealed.
Yeah, ice baths, meditation, that sort of stuff. But
the state of South Australia and their racing in particular has been listening to a lot of self-help podcasts and reading the books, and you've walked through the doors of Moorfield now and there's little saunas and ice baths everywhere. It's self-improvement plan.
Yeah. Hey, it's paying off.
Literally.
It is. It literally is. Second of Portsea might be running this weekend or on Anzac Day, so you'll have to tune in to the Instagram to see that. But sensational racing in South Australia, unbelievably. The Brisbane Carnival is kicking off as well. If you were to have a bet this weekend, where would you do it?
With the good people at Ned's, definitely. You can do everything you want with them. You can get weird and exotic as well, which I know you like a lot. You've provided a few tips for one of the features where, you know, maybe if you were interested in a Ned same race multi, you could chuck that on and it'd give you some juicy odds, I think. And maybe you could follow us in as well with the Ned's profiles.
Yeah, yeah. If you like what we're putting down on the day, just go to our Ned's profiles and copy what we've got going on there. But yeah, should be good.
Let's go.
But what are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Okay, here we go. Another episode of the On The Drift podcast, but one that we haven't seen before. Hello to my good friend Declan. How are you going, mate?
Mate, I'm good. Sort of a little bit weird doing this virtually, but it's a new skill that we've learnt, and hopefully it's the last time we have to do it, but something tells me it won't be.
Yeah, it's looking pretty grim in Queensland, more specifically in Brisbane, but mate, on the positive, I don't have to smell you in person anymore, so
that is true.
Yeah, but obviously I'm joking, but mate, what a week it's been. So I guess it would make sense for me to kick things off because I've had quite a week. So on Saturday, it got announced that, we're going to be going into lockdown at 4 p.m. And Prue and I were like, okay, checking the Queensland Health website, you know what? Makes sense because it was my sister's wedding or the week of, and we're like, okay, let's just get down to Burley and add on two more days to our holiday. So we did that, got down to Burley. Basically on the Sunday or the Monday, the lockdown got extended to Sunday. My sister's wedding was supposed to be on Saturday. So that's already been cancelled. So we're basically just going out, getting coffee, getting lunch, and that was the extent of our holiday in Burley. And then we got a lovely text message on Tuesday night saying that Prue had been a close contact of someone at work. So we hightailed it back to Brisbane, which is well within the rules. We went immediately into quarantine, got tested. Test results have come back negative, which is great, but we still have to quarantine for 2 weeks, both of us. So it's all happening, mate.
I heard there was a positive result, mate. You're pregnant. Hutcho's pregnant, everyone. Congratulate him.
It's definitely not. But mate, it has been just one of the great shit weeks of all time. So I did some retail therapy, got myself a bloke hoodie from Bloke in a Bar. These actually sold out in like 10 minutes. So I was stoked to get one. Yeah, mate, the hoodie's made me feel a little bit better, but it's a little bit down in the dumps, you know?
Oh, mate, I feel for you. And, with you know, what you're going through, there's a ton of people going through the same, and but it's just it's especially shit for someone like you who's got, you know, sister's wedding, which is this the second or third time it's been postponed?
No, that was the second time it's been postponed. So and she'd be like one of many other people.
That doesn't make it any easier or better.
No, it's just like I think a lot of people are in the same boat. A girl I used to work with, she planned to have her wedding on like the Amalfi Coast, and so they had to get rid of that, can that, and they just eloped instead, which is like completely different. So, but
well, mate, it is. Speaking of eloping, my cousin and his wife, they actually end up eloping because they've had to postpone their wedding as well. They were supposed to get married in Adelaide last year. And that cousin of mine is Jack Curtin, and his wife just got into the beach volleyball women's final for the Olympics, Maria Faye Tasha Del Solar. So going for the gold, I think 12:30 tomorrow or the day after. How good is that?
Set your clocks, set your alarms. Well, we definitely saw them out and about once. I think we were out shopping somewhere and it was like in the middle of nowhere and we saw them both and you're like, that chick's an Olympian. I'm like, sorry? What?
Yeah. I think, do you know what? I think it was Stafford Shopping Center and I think, was it Stafford or was it Indro or something like that? Yeah.
No, Lutwich or something?
It was like a Kmart or a Big W or something like that. But yeah, Maria Faye, absolutely killing it. So shout out to you. And look, she's guaranteed a silver medal at the absolute worst, but I know she'll bring home that gold and I'll be able to hold that medal one day, which is just unreal.
That's elite. And shout out to Jack. He is definitely a follower of the podcast. So shout out to you as well, mate. But yeah, that's huge. That is huge. And it's kind of a shame for the opposition because what they're underestimating is that like how golden our girls are from Australia. Like they kind of don't have a chance. So
mate, I said it last week and I'll say it again. The shoulders of the women of Australia from a sporting perspective are bloody sorer than mine because I've got a shocking pair of shoulders, but they've been absolutely blitzing it. Yeah, super proud of them. And yeah, keep an eye out on an article that's going to be posted this week on Laddies that might be talking a little bit about Olympics in the future. So,
yes, well said, well teased. Yeah, that will be coming out Friday morning. Check your local guides. Well, by the time this comes out, it'll probably be out. So, there or thereabouts, but it will basically be our crystal ball for the next Olympics. What's going to happen in Paris 2024? So, all Aussie inspired, I'd imagine. I haven't seen what you've written down. So,
oh man, 100% Aussie inspired.
Yeah, but mate, what a week it's been. I feel like it's just been snowballing since we touched on it last week. It's just been Australian glory after Australian glory.
Yeah, it's been unreal. Two goals today. Unfortunately, the Boomers lost to the US despite a really good start. They'll play off for bronze though, which I reckon they'll get for sure. Skateboarding goal.
Yeah, what was that kid's name?
I didn't know skateboarding was at the Olympics. Keegan. Batuta was on it straight away. They were like, obviously this bloke called Keegan's good at skateboarding, like 100% he is. So that's unreal. We're just dominating all the all the skate sports, all the skate park sports. So
yeah, what about Logan?
To all those boomers,
BMX.
So yeah, Logan and Keegan.
Logan named after the city of Logan.
So we got Logan and Keegan in the extreme sports. So all those boomers who want to get rid of the skate parks that are around the place, you know, in your local area, no. Don't, because that could result in a gold medal one day for Australia. And I bet you the boomers will be cheering them home then.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, the other one I saw, I didn't watch it, but I saw a replay. I don't know the actual name of it, but it's the rock climbing, the indoor rock climbing. Did you see that?
Sports climbing. Incredible.
They got up in like 5 seconds, the bloke who won it.
Yeah, just
it was unbelievable, incredible, mate. Yeah. Most incredible thing I've ever seen.
Great escape. Imagine him running away from the cops. Parkour. Just running, just like climbing up houses and that. Gee whiz.
Yeah, the parkour gold medal goes to France. that's funny. All right, let's move on. And just to make myself feel a bit better this week, what we've suggested that we do is just go back into our little time machine and let's touch on the good times, the horses that make us smile, basically, our three favorite horses for both of us. So I might take the honors, mate. And
yeah, of course.
What I'll do, I'll just share my screen here. And I'm going to touch on, first of all, just a boy who always did his best. Now, I just need to bear with me because I need to move this thing. Here we go. All right. Touching on a boy who just always tried his best. Side. And he saved his best when he was racing. Single, racing at the 1600 meters, over the 1600, usually in Melbourne. So, what we're watching right now is Fierce Impact in the Cantala Stakes in 2019. Now, this is a race that is dear to both our hearts because we had a group decision this day when we were putting on our quaddie. Now, you had Cascadian in the race.
Yep.
Doey had 50 Stars. Brad had Star of the Seas. They were followed by Streets of Avalon, three deep around Star of the Seas and 50 Stars, fifth the pack. Who did I have? Rock, that's right. That useless thing. And then we're like, you know what? Based on his Toorak one, Fierce Impact just absolutely needs to go in. And here he comes, about 600 from home, just working into the race. About five wide. And here he comes, in the wet. And we're there at the track as well.
Derby day in the quaddy.
Look how wide he is.
I thought I was going to win this race with Cascadian.
Well, Cascadian's nowhere right now.
Look at him. He doesn't turn up to the last 200 meters.
Look who's looming up on the outside. Sosie.
Is that pre-gelding Sosie?
No. Oh. So we were you and I were cheering because Fierce Impact got home here. But right, I reckon to the right of us, there was just the loudest no of Matthew Dolan just crushing his soul because he was on, he had a good go at 50 Stars each way and he was having a terrible day. Absolutely.
And I think that sealed the Purple Polo victory for Dolab, or the Purple Polo loss, whichever way you want to look at it. It was like he's just seen his favorite animal be put down. That was his reaction. It was a guttural moan that came out of him. Very similar to you when you were watching Jonker in the strap. Just pure anguish that came out of you was nearly brought a tear to my eye.
It's not often you find something at double figure odds and you have a go at it. So, all right. So I reckon we'll start on the same day. I reckon let's go here. So
this was the same day.
Talk us through it.
So this is the Golden Eagle 2019, first edition of the Golden Eagle.
Very first edition. Great day of racing. That's what makes Derby Day so elite now, is that like you have the fantastic racing where every race is a group race in Melbourne, and then Sydney have come to the party with the Golden Eagle and other races.
Yeah, definitely. So you might remember that there was one horse that took the lead in this race and was extremely tough.
Mate, Sunlight was unbelievable. 1,500 metres, she did her best work at 1,200. Can't believe she was actually.
She was actually an honourable mention for me for this list, but
oh really, Sunlight?
Yeah, big fan of Sunlight. And she was a big odds this day. She's super tough up front.
See so, who's fourth in the run right now, maybe fifth on the very outside.
Is that Arcadia Queen?
No. On in the black and yellow silks, that's Behemoth. Before he was Behemoth.
So keep an eye on the white silks, blue cap. That's sort of stuck there. That's Colding. Keep an eye on him. Can't get out. I thought I was absolutely done here on Colding.
Oh, hold on. There's a pulse.
There's a pulse.
Oof.
Bang.
Useful.
How's that for a first four? So Colding, Sunlight, Behemoth, Arcadia Queen. It's pretty handy. So Colding that day was coming off an Epsom victory as well. And he was actually still a pretty decent price. I can't remember exactly what I had him at, but I was having a pretty good day. But after I whacked Colding, I was having a fantastic day. And yeah, you will never see a lot of horses win from where he was. Checked two or three times. No way home. Only got out with about 100, 150 to go. Storms home. And I've backed Colding a few times in group ones where he's won. So Colding's definitely a favorite of mine. So yeah, that race especially. He was playing on the big screen at Flemington. And I was charging home. I went up to the fence. It finally stopped raining at this time. And I was just whipping my bum as hard as I could to kick him home. And he got home. And Macca was on him with me. So shout out J-Mac.
Absolutely, mate. He surprised me when he got older because I reckon he had a really bad prep, like a really, really bad autumn prep. And he came back a different horse. And I think they've come to the conclusion that he just doesn't go a yard in Melbourne. So it's like, oh, why do you bother? Some of them just can't. So
dry track, Colding.
Yep.
Draws well. Have to be on him.
Yeah. Well, he returns to the track this weekend, actually, against a pretty decent field in Group 2.
Group 2.
Yeah, looking at that, mate, we might have to come back a week or two early. So, anyway, my second horse, this is my favorite ever three-year-old.
Rosehill Guineas, the Roundwick Guineas, but a shadow hero.
Not three-year-old, favorite ever two-year-old. This is a three-year-old race that he won, but
out of the gates looking for
Castelvecchio.
Castelvecchio's up there with him.
And this ride by Williams has to be one of the best ever.
Right up the inside and the holy ones going forward.
Rosehill Guineas 2019, 2020 maybe, 2020.
2020, yeah. Got
across from the outside. Look at the position.
What price he was here.
I remember him being, I remember reflecting on the race. I'm like, how does the Cox Plate runner up get out to double figures?
Yeah.
Because his first run back was horrific. But then you looked at his racing pattern. The majority of his racing came from last, whereas like blinkers on, he's a completely different horse. Yeah, far out. Who else we have in this race? I think Prince Fawaz. He ran quite a good handy race. I think that's Pancho outside of him.
Warning is four back the fence.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Warning.
Look who's back on the fence. Light blue silks. Reloaded.
Oh, I can't tell. Reloaded.
Runs third here.
Who's the Godolphin thing right at the back?
Chenier.
Yeah.
Who's now in Hong Kong? Because I believe that Shadow Hero coming out really wide.
Yeah, Shadow Hero would have been in this race. Might have been favourite.
Mate, look at, yeah, oh, yeah, he would have been. Look at the big CV.
Then came Pancho, Shadow Hero, six off the lead. Castelvecchio charges to the lead. 200 metres out. It beat off Prince Fawaz by 3/4 of a length. Although he's gained Prince Fawaz. Castelvecchio a half in front to Prince Fawaz. They've got it between them. But Castelvecchio, a masterful
easy
ride by Craig Williams up on the speed.
Then you had,
and he wins the Rose.
Yeah, Prince Fawaz into second, reloaded. Shadow Hero and Warning into fifth. So not a bad race, that. Not bad addition.
It was a good race. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was a big fan of Castell as well.
Yeah. His debut win, I've said it several times on this podcast, but one of the greatest wins you'd ever see. English Millennium comes from absolutely nowhere. If we have time at the end, we might play it. But on to the next one now. This is an unbelievable win. And I remember where I was when I saw this. Ready now.
And so do I, yeah. So the Autumn Sun and Randwick Guineas. I haven't seen many better horses in my time at the Autumn Sun. He could do it from anywhere. He could lead off pace, be at the back, as he was here. And just the ticket to get home in this race was absolutely unbelievable. No gallop at the 1200 meters. Vega Days ambles forward, and now Miss Fabulous. Did you see the photo of his first yearling on Instagram?
Oh, I didn't. The lead on Miss Fabulous. Does he look stunning? Three lengths
on Vega Days. Oh, looks absolutely gorgeous. Oops.
And a length then to Nikita Jane is about four in front of the Autumn Sun and the
Rome. Oh, Miss Fabulous, that's right.
Two after Diplomatico. The Autumn Sun and the running
mate,
line
going
so you can see the Autumn Sun right at the back.
Looking through this field, County, this field is pretty average.
Sustaining this speed. Has she got the stamina at the 600 meter? She's six lengths clear from Vega Days and Fundamentals.
So he's what, 15 lengths off him at this stage?
Yeah. Just sets such a blistering pace. Had to do so much work.
Nikita Jane, what happened to her? Where are they now?
So 400 out, 350 out. He's 7 lengths away, 10 lengths away, 10 there.
Still 6 off him at the 200.
How's the call? From Vega Days, Nikita Jane, the Autumn Sun is lifting late. Fundamentalist in front.
The Autumn Sun's really surging. The outside, yes. Oh, what a super like that.
And he still has his nuts.
Of course he does.
What an absolutely unbelievable horse. Would have loved to have seen him race against Winks.
Yeah. For 8 start career, I don't think you get much better than him. He'd have to be right up there at the tippy top.
Yeah. So a lot of time for Tass. I think Brad Wesson sleeps with the photo of the Autumn Sun every night and he loves him that much. So shout out, Brad.
Mate, Tass lives rent-free in his head, that's for sure. All right. Now, on to a horse that I reckon this horse solidified my love of the game, and no real surprises for any listeners, but Red Zell, my goodness. He just turned up time after time, after time. And in the latter end of his career, he probably liked it a bit wetter than the majority. But early on his career, it didn't matter what ground he was on, wet, dry. And his win in the second Everest was so elite.
It's a moist crowd here at Randwick and the gates unexpected. Open for the Everest. US Navy flag. Should have known. Drew super well. Red Zell was
right, and Scholes pretty quickly out. Oh no, this is Scholes' last ever run. Forward. Vega Magic's cast out very sure deep early. Vedora's even wider. Then US Navy flag further back to Brave Smash.
US Navy flag.
Graphs right off the track. Where are they now?
Brave Smash. And Osborne Bulls
is last. It's a soft lead for Red Zell. Santa. It is a soft lead Vega for Red Zell. But he wouldn't.
Drew Barrier won.
Best drawn horse in history of the game.
Always drew up.
So Le Romain, that Vega 1, not Vega 1, but Vega Magic, whatever it is. Look at him. So this is a heavy 12. The ball out wide.
Still cruising in the lead. Trapeze Artist, Le Romain do the chasing. Further back to Graf. And down the outside is Osborne Balls. It's Red Zell clear. Red Zell, 50 metres to go. Looking to conquer the Everest again. And boy, he's done it. Red Zell leads all the way from Trapeze Artist. I think Osborne Balls.
That was an unbelievable run by Trapeze Artist as well in that race.
It was. I forgot Osborne Balls went out so wide.
Yeah. And I remember watching the coverage. They were interviewing James Cummings, it was like they won the race because they basically knew that his best racing was done on top of the ground, but he he was basically like, we had that tactic just to come basically right to the grandstand to find the better ground and just hope to place. And yeah, he did that. And yeah, he did it by a couple of lengths in the end. So, but yeah, Redzel, absolutely elite.
Yeah. So moving on to my favorite, and couldn't find the footage of this race, but this was on Derby Day in 2017 where we had the most fantastic day as a group. And we've got 400 meters out in the My Classic. My girl Shoals, bottom weight, about 50 kegs on her back. Dean Yendel, first leg of the quarter. I think she was about $6 or $7, something like that.
She was healthy.
Yeah. She was healthy. And check out the ticker. Check out the ticker. Up the front, red and white silks.
I was on Dixie Blossoms back here.
Dixie Blossoms is an honorable mention for me as well. I love Dixie Blossoms.
I love
Dixie
Blossoms.
It's Shoals kicking away at the 150. A length prompt response followed by Xteen Dixie Blossoms. Shoals in front in the shadows from prompt response. Shoals is holding on. Shoals! Wins, I'd say. Dixie Bang. Blossoms, X-Feed and Prot.
And the thing I love most about Shoals for me is I backed her obviously every start, but she won at odds. Like she won a couple of group ones, won down in South Australia in Adelaide. She was paying $12. And this was after this race. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, she was in that Everest just before with Redzel, and obviously the heavy deck did not suit my girl. But yeah, I think she was the one who sort of cemented the love affair for me as well. But yeah, mate, spoke about Dixie Blossoms. I think one of her last wins, maybe even her last race, was in the Kumul Classic, was it, where she was about 20-21s. And I had her that day. Did you have her as well?
No, I gave Dixie a wide berth basically at the beginning of that prep. She lost a really winnable race. First up, I think it was a listed race. So I was like, she's done. She can't possibly win again. And then she proved me wrong by about six lengths.
There you go. So any honorable mentions for you, mate? I mentioned Dixie Blossoms, Sunlight for me as well.
Yeah, well, current day, I love Brooklyn Arthur. Have done since her very first race. So she'd probably be on par with Castelvecchio, is my favorite ever two-year-old. Even though as a two-year-old, I don't think I ever backed her to win. Just thinking off the top of the dome, loved Loving Gabby as well. She was elite. And then thinking of other horses that I can't really get away from, Tagaloa seemed to back him every start as well. But he did his job for me at about $20 in the Blue Diamond. But yeah, mate, they're a few of my favorites.
Yeah. Obviously, can't go through a podcast without mentioning the Queen, Wings.
Of course.
Just a special horse. I had a big soft spot for Russian Camelot as well. Devastating that his career finished a bit earlier than what we would have liked. Yeah, a few others for me, mate, but I think we've covered the core.
Well, for about 2 years there, I bet on Ventura Storm wherever he was running.
You did.
And yeah. I couldn't seem to get away from him for whatever reason. And yeah, so he's probably not one of my favorites now. But at the time, there was a time, mate, where I absolutely loved him. Don't know why.
That was like me with Shillelagh. I used to punt on Shillelagh wherever she went. Actually, she won on that day in 2017 as well.
Yeah, she's won on Derby Day twice. So, that's a pretty damn good horse, whereas Ventura Storm did his best work coming 20th in the Melbourne Cup. So,
yeah. What do you sort of see as a horse that its career is sort of maybe only just starting out, or it's only had a couple preps, but you can see yourself really getting around it in the next sort of 3 or 4 years, or you'll look back in 3 or 4 years and think, yeah, that's one of my faves.
Ooh, question without notice, but I really liked Artorias winning the Blue Diamond.
Yeah.
I really think like the Golden Slipper was an afterthought and his run was unbelievable. And I just feel like that was ultra impressive. And like Bossy loves to talk, but he was saying like he's the best two-year-old of the bunch. So, and Stay Inside was ultra impressive. And then who ran second in that race? The Godolphin thing. What was his name?
Animo.
Yeah. Animo. Like he couldn't be faulted. Like, but yeah, I'd say Artorias for mine. I think he's the one I'm going to probably back in each prep.
Yeah. I think speaking of Animo, I think Animo is one for mine that I really want to keep an eye on. Man, I'm a sucker for a horse with a turn of foot. Got him at a futures price for the Everest. I don't know if he'll end up in the Everest, but got him there. And I think Converge, having seen him in the flesh, was awesome too. So hopefully we've got a couple of two-year-olds who actually go on and do something.
Yeah, well, thinking of someone a bit older, like Zaki comes to mind. I think.
For sure.
I can't wait to see him go up against VE. Like, that's going to be so elite.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for that. And I can't wait for Celino and the Melbourne Cup as well, knowing the owner. So,
yeah.
Geez, if he runs well there, happy days.
Jeez. Well, what price is he at the moment? Like,
I think he came into 26s. I got him at 34s. Yeah. Tell you what, if a few of my futures multis come off, I'll be able to buy us a new studio, mate.
Yeah, fingers crossed, bro. Fingers crossed. Alrighty. That is all we had on offer, I reckon. Did you have anything else to add?
No, mate. That was good fun. And nothing like reminiscing on brighter times when you're stuck in lockdown.
Yeah, so I've got quarantine until next Friday. So the next podcast will be exactly like this, I'd say, which is a shame. And hopefully lockdown is ended by the time we can do the first proper episode of the year, which will be only a couple of weeks away, I think. So that's super exciting. And we'll be changing up our structure a little bit. We asked around a lot of people just to see what their thoughts were. We're going to change up the structure a little bit, but it's more just getting the listeners involved, which I'm really excited about. So like our group one tallies, Sweppo has hung up the form guide. he won't be participating, but yeah, instead we'll have our loyal listeners participating, which I can't wait for.
Yeah, mate, super keen for that. The more the merrier. And the only thing we need to make sure we do is beat them, because otherwise they'll become the experts.
Well,
experts.
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 Experts. But no, looking forward to it, mate. I think that's about it this week. Don't know what we're going to be talking about next week. So
we sort it out. We always do.
Yeah. But thanks for listening, guys. And we'll see you next week.
Good luck with your punning.